The reading is from Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 19. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves can break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Christina. Shall we? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is alive, that your word is for us today. And Lord, sometimes your word has some really challenging, well, it's all challenging, but sometimes it feels really, really challenging. And Lord, I ask, as we think about money today, that you would soften our hearts by your Spirit to respond in the way that you would call us to. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, Christine, as I said, for reading the passage. And as I was reading it again in the week, my mind went straight back to the end of August last year when my older sister died. And in particular, the days and a couple of weeks after when my younger sister and I were back and forward clearing out the flat. And as we delved into the dark corners of her flat, of my older sister's flat, we found things that were well out of date, things that were mouldy, things that had gone rotten. We uncovered areas of threadbare carpet where carpet moths were having a field day just hopping around. Just a week or so earlier, actually, we'd found a couple of rats just outside the flat. In fact, one was a squirrel, but they're both vermin, aren't they? You know, so. And the housing association were really keen that we cleared out the flat quickly because they were worried that if people knew it was empty, that thieves or people would break in. And much of what we cleared out of the flat had to go, sadly, straight to the tip. I mean, to be honest, I lost count of how many times we went. And one day I remember as I poured another load of stuff into one of those great big containers, I thought to myself, we accumulate so many things. Are we all right with the sound? Okay. I was thinking to myself that we accumulate so many things, and that adage came to me that you can't take them with you. And I was thinking, you know, some of those things are really important to my sister, but what value are they now? And it did then, and as it has done in this week leading up to today, it's really challenged me to think about where do I store up my treasures? Am I storing them up in places where they will have eternal value for the Lord? Or is it all about me? Am I relying on things for myself? Well, that's a really good cheery start to our sermon, isn't it? But as I was saying, as I prayed, Jesus challenges us with some really hard questions. And he challenges like that because he wants us to make the right choices as we follow him so that we can experience the fullness, the joy of knowing him. As David said, we're in the middle of this Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is telling us what it looks like to be a disciple of Jesus, a Christian, someone who has decided to commit their whole lives to him in our response to what he has done for us on the cross. Last week, David was looking at those things, those sort of more personal things like prayer and fasting. This week, Jesus turns to what we might call more public-facing things, how our ambitions play out in practice, particularly focusing on our attitude and our use of wealth, of money, of our possessions. I'm going to use money mostly through this sermon, but it means a wider word of wealth and possessions as well. Materialism, for instance. as David spoke last week, the heart of the issue last week concerned, as we pray, as we give, as we fast, is whether we're more concerned about what other people are seeing and so that we get their praise and acclaim, or whether we're only really concerned about what God sees and God knows. But this week, the core challenge is whether God or money rules us. Whether we use what we have to please God or to selfishly please ourselves. But the answer is much the same. Contentment. Contentment in the relationship that we have with God the Father, bought for us by the Lord Jesus through his death on the cross. Contentment. Contentment in the in our sort of inheritance that is to come, that assurance of eternal life. But contentment too in the rewards and the treasures that we gain through our devotion to Jesus in all things. Not looking to rely on other things, but to rely on Jesus. Isn't it great? Isn't it great that not only does God save us for eternity, but he chooses sometimes to reward us and give us additional treasures as we walk with him here and as we look forward to other things later when he comes again. Verses 1 to 18, what David covered last week, ended with these words talking about rewards. God sees what's done in secret and will reward you. In our passage, Jesus is still talking about rewards, but because he's now specifically turning to think about money and possessions and wealth and so on, he uses this word treasures, a sort of a transition, if you like. So verses 19 to 21, let's look at those first. And here Jesus says, when it comes to storing up treasures or rewards, there are only two options. You either store them for yourself up in earth, or you store them for yourself up in heaven. And what Jesus means is, your priority is either to rely on the apparent benefits of things of this earth that we value most, but which eventually are going to let us down in some way, whether that's they're stolen, whether they deteriorate, whether they devalue, whether they decay and so on. Or is our priority to rely on the lasting reward from our Heavenly Father? Rewards that are from the Father and with the Father. Held in heaven by the Father, incorruptible. In that same place, I talked about that inheritance earlier on of eternal life. In the same place in heaven, which Peter says is held in heaven, which will never perish, fade or spoil. And that will show, that will demonstrate, that will give us a life with regard to the handling of our money that shows confidence in the reality of those promises that God has given us. In verse 21, Jesus says that which of those you choose to store your treasures will depend on your heart stance, your attitude of your heart. And when Jesus uses this term heart, he's talking about the centre of our being, the spiritual part of where our deepest desires and our emotions and convictions dwell. The core of our being. The core of our being that's essentially sinful, but in which, as Christians, for people who have given their lives to Jesus, where God is carrying out, he's carrying on a good work to transform us by his Holy Spirit to be more like Jesus, who we've committed to. So it follows that we need to pay attention to what our heart values or treasures most, because that's going to determine how we're rewarded. Storing up treasures on earth, holding money and possessions tightly, because consciously or not, we think that that's where security and pleasure and happiness lies. Well, that's going to mean that we're going to miss out on the treasure of a deeper and ever deepening relationship with God. Missing out on what Jesus has won for us. Won for us to have forever in eternity, but to also now. Eternity started the day that we gave our life to Jesus. What storing up treasures on earth will look like, I wonder. Well, perhaps it will be different for all of us. Perhaps it's a selfish extravagance, a greed. Maybe it's a hardened heart towards people who are in more need than we are. Maybe it's just thinking that possessions and reliance on possessions and wealth is our security, is the answer to everything. So let's pause. Let's just ask ourselves a really hard question now. Of all your money and your possessions and your wealth, Which of them, if you had to give them up now, would be the hardest? And then ask why. The why is the bigger question. Storing up treasures in heaven can also mean, whether we've got money or not, or a lot of money or a little bit of money, wanting more, coveting more, coveting that other people have got, thinking that the answers are there in things that we haven't got. But let's be clear, as I was in the activity, that Jesus, he never said that there's anything wrong in wealth or money or property or possessions. He wants us to enjoy what he so graciously gives us. He gives us everything. But he expects us as Christians, as followers of Jesus, to constantly ask ourselves, is the attitude of our heart such that we are holding those things tightly or lightly? Are we holding them lightly, actively looking for ways to fulfill God's purpose in our lives and to please him? God gives us things to hold lightly, to use for his glory. There's a great verse in Proverbs 4:23 which commands us. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The next verses, verses 22 and 23, well, at first sight, they appear to be about something different. They're talking about healthy and unhealthy eyes and light and darkness, and they're confusing. But actually, it's the same. It's the same either or message that Jesus is using. But he's emphasizing here that a heart which gives priority to storing treasures in heaven will be an undivided heart for him and a generous heart for him. And you might think, well, how do you get that from those verses, Dave? Well, let me try to explain, because they are tricky verses, and I'm not including myself in one of the experts, but lots of experts just can't agree on the right words to use here, because they can't quite get a grip of the original Greek that Matthew used when he wrote it. And Matthew was sort of playing on words. But this is how I understand it. First of all, verse 22, Jesus says that the eye is the lamp of the body. And here we just need to step back a little bit and think that when Jesus uses eye, he also means the same as we'll be talking about a heart. They can mean the same thing, particularly in that time. But the principle, as he uses this metaphor of eye, is that a good, healthy eye will result in lots of other actions being carried out well, compared to an unhealthy eye, which will impact on how those things get carried out. So let's use an example. I've got healthy eyes today. I can go and get the kettle, fill the kettle up, go to the fridge, get the milk, chuck it all in with the tea bag into a cup and make Ailish, my wife, a wonderful cup of tea. But if tomorrow I'm blind, I'm going to struggle to make that cup of tea, even though she may not notice any difference. Doing things well with healthy eyes means that I walk in the light, making godly choices, keeping in the right direction that God wants, doing what pleases him, shining out for him. And doing them badly is the opposite, not what God wants, and walking in darkness. But where does the money bit come in? Well, those words that are used for healthy and unhealthy in my version, maybe in yours as well, could also be translated, healthy could be translated single, it could be translated as generous. An unhealthy eye, so a healthy eye is really saying that our heart is undivided, just singularly pointed to God in a generous way in the use of our money. And that means that we walk in the light for him. And the opposite is the unhealthy eye, with connotations. That word unhealthy has got connotations of stinginess and of covetousness and envy. A heart that is divided between money and God, and therefore not pleasing God. Jesus says that selfish, covetous materialism will blind us. It will put us in the darkness. And it will impact on our relationship with him as Christians. He calls us and he says our ambition is to use our money and possessions wholeheartedly, single-mindedly, single-heartedly to serve God. And as we do that, it will throw his glorious light on the things we do for his glory, for his purposes. So let's move on to verse 24. So Jesus, in those two sections before, set out our choice by talking of storing treasures in heaven or earth, and then through that comparison of healthy and unhealthy eyes, both challenging us to have an attitude of heart that is solely for God as we handle our wealth, as we handle our money. But if it hasn't already sunk in, Jesus is really blunt in verse 24. He says, you cannot have two masters. It's either God or it's money. One of those is your boss. And your heart can only be for God. That's what Jesus calls us to. And as he often does, Jesus uses extremes of language, love and hate, he uses here to emphasize that either or point again. It's either God or it's either money that we submit to. And as Christians, we should be submitting to God. Now, in my Bible, the last word in the passage is money with a capital M. And almost personifying money, as I did in the activity. And I'm not sure that's what Jesus really intended, to personify it in quite like that way. But he used a word called mammon, a sort of local word for him at that time. And it was a negative term for money and wealth, where it becomes the idol of materialism, where we use that wealth becomes what we use to trust in. We trust in material things instead of trusting God. Materialism battles for our allegiance with God. Money battles with us, with God, for our allegiance. So where is your allegiance? Is it to God? Is it to God wholeheartedly as your master if you follow Jesus? Or do you think that you can maybe hold God and money in some sort of balance, in some sort of reason? As you listen to this, I wonder, are you thinking, is Jesus just oversimplifying this? It isn't easy. You can't make that distinction. You can't just be ruled by either God or money. Do you feel uncomfortable? Because you know that too often money does rule your ambitions, your choices and your actions. Perhaps you're even angry. Perhaps you're feeling guilty. Perhaps you're in denial. I've gone through all of those things as I've prepared the sermon today. But I'm not arguing with Jesus. I think he wants us to sweat and squirm a bit as we read this. Because it's so important. We are so easily mastered by money and materialism. As I said, I felt really uneasy as I've prepared this sermon because, you know, I'm a long way from getting it anywhere near right. But I'm called to speak God's word faithfully, even though I'm standing here knowing that I'm as bad as anybody else. And the thing is, sometimes when I do know that I've done it wrong, I then try and come up with all sorts of reasons to persuade myself, well, actually, it was all right, really. But Jesus' language is uncompromising. It's the language of service. It's the language of slavery. It's about ownership. If we're Christians, God owns us because we were bought at a price, at the price of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross for us. God demands our exclusive service, our undivided loyalty, including with money. Why do you think Jesus is so blunt? Well, I think firstly, one is because he knows what we're like. He knows the power of and the pressures and the temptations of money and how Satan will use them against us. But more importantly, Jesus is blunt because he wants us to experience the fullness of knowing him, which comes from an undivided heart. I'll come back to those blessings in a moment, but let's just think firstly, what can we do? If we're honest, we know that we are, or we can be, or we will be mastered by money, by materialism at some time. So the first thing we need to do is to come to the Lord in repentance, if that's us. Come to the Lord and say, I really am sorry that I'm getting it wrong. Commit, recommit to Jesus and say, I need your help by your Spirit. I want you, God, to be my master. Help me to master money with your help, God, as my master. When you commit in that way in repentance, we do so as Christians, knowing that God has already forgiven us. Because as it says in Romans, Paul says in Romans 1, there is no condemnation for those who are already in Christ Jesus. When we mess up, when we make the wrong decisions about money or about anything else. And then pray, ask God to point out, where do I start with this? It's such a big thing. Ask him for a help to have and develop an undivided heart and to make the right decisions about money. And then you've got to go to the next level, which I think is the practical, hard level. It's hard admitting it to God. It's hard then saying, God tells you what to do and you've got to go and do it. Assess what you're spending your money on, where your wealth is laying, how it's being used, whether you're coveting it, whether you're seeking more, whether you are trusting to it rather than to God. Look ahead at your ambitions and priorities that you've set for yourself. Now is a really good time, even though it's a bad time, COVID, it's a good time to do that reassessment. Many of us will be looking at our money, reassessing our priorities because of COVID. Well, don't do that without God, because he's your master if you follow Jesus. God wants us to use our money to please him, to handle our money in ways that we will be happy with, that we will be pleased with too, but that ultimately fulfill his purposes for us, for his purposes in our lives, and give him glory. I said Jesus doesn't want us to miss out on the fullness of blessings, the rewards of God that we can often miss out on when we let money boss us around. Jesus wants us to store up treasures in heaven. Some will be, as I said earlier, for when he returns, when he comes in glory, or when we die and join him. Some will be to bless us every day as we walk with him through good and hard times. Well, what are the rewards? What are the treasures that we can store up in heaven as we use our money for the Lord's purposes? Well, I think for me, the first thing is it's the daily reward, the daily treasure of knowing that I already have the greatest gift, that I'm saved from hell, from heaven. And so that puts every other decision I make into perspective. And some of those are hard, and some of those about money are really hard. But when you make the right decision, that reward that you get, that feeling that God allows you to have, the reward every time we use money wholeheartedly for Jesus, we will know Jesus better because we become more like Jesus. The reward of an ever deepening relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, as we make courageous decisions, courageous financial decisions. The treasure of knowing that an undivided heart is a sign that we are being transformed by his Spirit to be more like Jesus, as I said earlier. The treasure of an ever solid faith and confidence and courage and contentment and happiness and joy as we make decisions about money, sometimes hard decisions, but we make them, and then sometimes God just rewards us in that deepening of relationship. The reward of seeing people come to know Jesus through the things that we have contributed to through our money and our wealth and so on. The anticipated reward of meeting people in heaven where our money played a part in them becoming followers of Jesus. Plus, all the surprise rewards that we've got no idea what they're going to be about, but that Jesus promises. Those rewards we won't know about until we meet Jesus, till we meet our Master. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want Jesus to be the master of my life in all things. Father, sometimes money is no doubt that my master and gets the better of me and bosses me around. Would you help us? Would you help me? Would you help all of us, Lord, as we pray this prayer together? By your Holy Spirit, to see the wonders, the rewards, the treasures, the contentment of being in relation with you, Father God, because of the amazing work that Jesus did on the cross as he gave his blood for us in full payment. Would your Holy Spirit keep on, keep on, keep on transforming us so that we would use our money, our wealth, our belongings, our possessions, everything we have, in ways that fulfill your purposes in our life, give you glory, and Lord, we get pleasure too. It's wonderful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.